name is Christ. We commence our last class on In the Front Line. So for those of you who have finished your homework, right, there's six questions all together, right? And because the counselors added two more, right? So when you finish it, I think it's due tonight, right? Just put in a box back there, right? Put a box back there. So yesterday, we shared the first question. Is that why was the robber saved without being baptized? But praise and thank God, a lot of you, right, you know the right answer, right? In other words, the reason the robber was saved before, even though he did not get baptized, because he belonged to the Old Testament. And the Old Testament, one was saved because of faith. But even then, he did not receive the promise yet. We need to say that, right? Two verses, right? They say, even though they die in faith, they have good testimony in faith, but they did not receive the promise. Let's say that. The blood of Jesus Christ, right, works, you know, from the beginning and also now, right? Of course, if we don't have the faith to believe in that, for example, you don't need any verses in the Bible, right? If you don't believe in that, then every one of us, if you want to be saved, we must be underneath the cross when Jesus is bleeding, right? Of course, it's not like that. But rather, we're going to go to 1 John, right? Chapter 5, right? 1 John chapter 5. Let's go to that. This is how we know it transcends beyond time and space, right? 1 John chapter 5. I think the Chinese version, the verses mixed up a little bit, right? But nevertheless, the concept is there, right? The Chinese version in the Bible. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bear witness, because the Spirit is true. Verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So we can see here, through the baptism, right? So not only that the physical water, that, you know, the physical water, of course, is there, but of course, it says here that on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. How can the blood be there? How can the blood be there during the time of water baptism? Because the blood is spiritual. So in other words, we say the name of Jesus Christ, he baptized you, right? He baptized you. The minute we say that, and then when we baptize a person, then all of a sudden the water becomes blood, right? The water mixed with blood. Just like when the soldier pierced the side of Jesus Christ, blood and water came out. So because of this, that blood and water, it flows to all the generation, right? To those who baptize in his name. So that's why it's so wonderful, right? So for the thief on the cross, even nowadays, if our Lord Jesus Christ comes to one of us and says, you are saved, for sure you are saved. But then, right? And then, I mean, then who are you going to tell that Jesus said that to you, right? People are going to believe you? Because nowadays, so many Christians, they always say, oh, Jesus said this to me, right? Jesus said that to me, right? All the time. Just like one of the truth seekers. He's been truth seeking in a church for over 6 years. And he never wanted to be baptized. The reason he didn't want to be baptized because he did not believe that receiving the Holy Spirit is speaking tongues. But he knows the doctrine more than most of our members. Why? Because every time ministers go to that particular church, we always share with him the basic doctrines, right? So many ministers went through all the 6 years, 7 years, right? And he knows all the doctrine. But he just did not believe. So the other time I received a phone call when I was in Hawaii, I say, oh, this true seeker, he want to be baptized. Right? And I say, oh, praise and thank God, right? And I say, why? And the council members say, oh, because he has cancer, right? I say, all right, we'll take that, right? So after my Hawaii trip, then I went to Sacramento at the time. So we want to do a special baptism because he's really ill, right? Then I went to visit him in the hospital, and all of a sudden a council member, when I was walking toward him, he's like, he changed his mind. He doesn't want to get baptized anymore. And I say, why? He said, because the doctors say his cancer does not lead on to death. Right? So he decided not to. I'm like, oh, okay. And after that, right, and we know he's about 6'4", right? He's quite a tall person. But the last time I saw him, he weighs maybe 140 pounds. I mean, I'm 6 feet, I weigh 185 pounds, and he's like half of my size almost. He was so skinny. So the last time before I went back to Hawaii for visitation, we went to visit him. And we talked to him, and we said to him, you really must, you know, get baptized. And he said, no, Jesus spoke to me already. Jesus told me many times already, I will not die from this cancer. So when I was in Hawaii, 3 days later, I received a phone call that he died. So quite often when we say, Jesus, speak to me and stuff, sometimes, you know, so far, I mean, 12 years, of course, in Christ, of course, Jesus spoke to me, I guess, twice, right, when I received the Holy Spirit, and when he wanted me to read the Bible, right? But of course, that's just between me and God, right, during that time. And the reason I know he spoke to me is because whatever he told me to do, I did. And it came true, right? Just like he told me to get up and pray. When I got up and prayed, I received the Holy Spirit. When he said, you know, read the Bible, when I read it, the Bible became alive. But that's between us and God, right? The reason we testify is because to glorify the name of God. But quite often, many people always say, oh, Jesus say this to me, Jesus say that to me. Oh, Jesus, that's a talker, really, right? So many Christians, they love God so much, they always mention this all the time, just like this true seeker. He's so convinced because he said Jesus Christ also anointed him to be the last day prophet. Right? And he's completely convinced. And I'm telling you, he's so zealous. And he loved God so much. That's why I keep telling him, Jesus told me I would not die from this cancer. 3 days later, he's dead. So that's why for us, everything we do, we go back to the Bible. And even that last prayer, we kneel down and pray with him. His tongue started moving, right? He almost received the Holy Spirit. Guess what he did? He stopped praying. Why? Because he has too much pride. For me, there's too much pride inside his heart. He did not want to admit that what we're preaching is the true gospel. So that's why the minute I heard him, because I was laying hands on him, I heard his tongue moving, all of a sudden, he stopped praying altogether. Because he doesn't want to admit all those years that he was wrong. Instead, die without salvation. He's such a good person too, right? But that's the way it is. That's the way it is. So when we talk about salvation, so don't, when people ask us, right, how can we be saved? They're not saying they're between you and God. No. It's not between them and God. God already tells us the way to be saved, that is to be born again of water and spirit. So then, what was the next question? What was the next question? What's that? Yes. Why do people who do not know God, right? Who do not know God, this means they never know God. Or not that they don't know, not like God, they know Him, but they don't know Him, right? But people never heard of God before. They do not know Him at all. Because quite often we always preach like this, right? We always say that if people do not know God, then between them and God, right? God will judge them. And, of course, maybe they have opportunity. And quite often, what do they use? Romans, right? Let's go to the book of Romans. That's why, brothers and sisters, if you want to be in the front line, you must have your bullets, right? If you go there, yes, maybe you have your weapon, but there's no bullets in it, then it's useless. So the same thing for us. We have to know what we're talking about when we go on the front line. Because many Christians, they also are very sharp in what they believe, right? If they don't believe what they're talking about, then why would they talk about it? Oh, they believe, but they believe is wrong, right? Just like the extreme Muslim, right? Why do they build a strap themselves with bombs and go to a crowded area and blow themselves up? Why? They believe that they have to. Brother, what do you think? Actually, the Quran never tells them to do so, right? Right? Yeah. No, you are 60 short. 70 virgins. Yes. Especially if they kill people in the United States, right? Because the United States is the greatest enemy of Allah, right? Yes. So that's why they believe, they completely believe. If they die for such a cause, there's 70 virgins waiting for them. But I'm sorry. When they die, also like, wow, virgins, they look like they're all demonic, right? Yes, demons waiting for them. But they completely believe in this, right? But you can't help but to feel bad, right? But look here, right? First, people will say, yes, people who do not know God, their conscience will be able to excuse them from their sin. And then use this verse, chapter 2, verse 14. For when the Gentile who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are law to themselves. Verse 15. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thought, accusing or excusing them. So many people use these two verses. Is this right? You can be able to say amen to that? No. Why not? Why not? Why not, brother? Why is it no? What's that? The conscience full of dead works, right? Okay? What up? Quite often when people use these verses, I see quite often our church brothers and sisters don't want to say this. So that's why when we go to preach the gospel, we cannot say they must be born again, right? If they want to be saved. Those who have their conscience excuse them, they can be saved. This is nonsense. If people's conscience can save them, then Jesus Christ does not need to be crucified on a cross for mankind. Why? Because from the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, every person who was born of a woman, born in sin. This means their conscience is defiled. So when God, when the Bible says, when the Gentiles, right, even though they do not have the law, by nature they do things in the law. By nature. This means by nature when we are born, we know what's right and what's wrong, right? One time our HTS, one of the brothers asked me, is it okay to eat human being? I'm like, okay. Right? I mean, who wouldn't know that you cannot eat another person, right, Kalina? Right? If my little nephew is 7 years old, I eat him, hey, can you eat a person? Of course he would say no, right? So by nature, we know what's right and what's wrong. We don't need people to tell us. For example, my nephew, right, when he first came to live with us, he's only 4 years old, right? But he's a compulsive liar. He lies about everything, right? So one time, he would say, oh, uncle, I'm hungry, right? I say, okay, and then we have a cookie, right? So this cookie is quite big, so we gave it to him. Like a minute later, he came back, say, oh, uncle, I'm still hungry. I say, what happened to the cookie I gave you? He's like, oh, I ate it all, right? I say, there's no way you can eat all of that big cookie, right? He's a small kid, he's only 4 years old, right? Sure enough, I went to the trash, and I saw him. More than half the cookie was in the trash, right? And I say, seven? Right? Because you lied, right? So now you cannot ride your bicycle for the whole month, right? So I took his bicycle, and I put it in the garage, and I'm going to put on the tallest one. So I put the bicycle very high, right? And then while I was standing in the front, and I said to my mother, Grandma, can I ride my bicycle? my mother said, no, your uncle grounded you, right? You cannot ride a bicycle. He said, don't worry about his son in front. He's not going to know, right? Then my mother said, plus I'm too short. I can't get the bicycle. He said, don't worry, I'll bring the stool. There's two stools in the kitchen, right? Yeah, I'll bring the stool. You can stand up, you can get it, right? Then my mother said, what about the garage? You open the garage door, open, right? Make noises, right? He said, don't worry, open it very slowly. Who taught him all these things? Really, but now, all the cooking stuff I find in my pot, but my plant pot, right? He hides underneath all the little thing, right? How does he know to do all these things? Why? Because we are human beings. When we are born, God gave this, this innate, right? Or wisdom, or knowledge. So we only know what's right and what's wrong, right? You can never go to a person and tell them, hey, you go steal something. Even a little kid. If you go tell them, go take that, right? It's not belong to you. Even the little one, they feel like, no, it's not right. Because they know inside their head, you're not supposed to steal. So this is what the Bible is talking about. So by nature, the Gentiles do not have the law. This means the law tells you exactly what you need to do is right and wrong. But no. By nature, they know what's right and what's wrong, right? You cannot just go and kill a person and think, oh, that's okay. No, you know that it's wrong. You cannot go and sleep with another man's wife and think that it's right. But of course, some culture, right, it becomes normalized in the sense that they've been doing it for so many generations, right? For example, like in Africa, right, some cult or some tribe, they eat other human, right? Especially the chief. The chief died, everybody must have part of him, right? Why? Because they give them power. But instead, sometimes the disease, right, from eating other human flesh, spread all over the villages and kill all of them, stuff like that, right? So, but that's their practice. But I know it's not right. So, but here, look at verse 12. For as many have sinned without the law. Who sins without the law? Who sins without the law? The Gentiles, right? And what happened to them? They were perished without the law. And, right, as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. If they're judged by the law, can they be saved? No way. Throughout the whole book of Romans is like this. So in other words, do not... When Jesus Christ said we must be born again of water and spirit, we must say amen to it. So when people ask us, how can a person be born, be saved? We also must have the faith to say you must be born again of water and spirit. But if we say, it depends, right? It's not depends. If we say you can be born any other way to be saved, right? You can be saved in other way. This means we indirectly we call our Lord Jesus Christ a liar. You understand? Because Jesus is the one that said to humankind, we must be born again. So, but look at verse 16. In the day when God will judge the secret of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Everyone will be judged by the word of God. See, for the Gentile, they have no chance to be saved at all. It doesn't matter who they are. Because quite often we think that there's only one way for our conscience to be clean. For what? How can our conscience be clean? How can men's conscience be clean according to the Bible? Can you guys do word search on that, okay? Yes? What's that? Which one? Then if you get it right, then you don't have to do it for homework, right? So how can you, if you get it wrong, then you automatically have to do your homework, right? So what do you guys think? How can a person conscience can be clean or pure in front of God? How? There's only one way. Yes, baptism, right. So you guys don't need to do your homework. Right? Baptism. The only way is through baptism. That means anyone does not get baptized according to the Bible, their conscience is defiled. Their conscience is unclean. Their conscience cannot be pure in front of God. Actually, it goes back to everything, right? about baptism. That's why it's so important, right? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Second Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here, when Jesus returned again, He will come with a vengeance. And it's two groups He's going to take vengeance on. What was the first group? And those who do not know God. It's very clear. Salvation is by grace, through faith. So on those who do not know God, God will take vengeance upon them. And then the second group? Yes, and those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that includes you and I. Because the gate to the heavenly kingdom is very narrow. But quite often we as a church, we want to open it so wide. If we open it so wide, it's not according to the Bible. The gate is narrow. Even though those of us who see this gate, it's very difficult for us to enter already. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will be the ungodly and the sinner appear? Who are the righteous one? Who are the righteous one? Huh? Those who are baptized according to the Bible. I think the Chinese translation is not too good, right? The Chinese translation say those who are barely saved, right? Barely saved means you just barely make it. No, it's not like that. Scarcely means very few. Very few. The righteous one, you and I, we are scarcely saved. Very few of us will be saved. Then we would those who do not know God. Right? Those who do not know God, what? They're ungodly. And those who are sinners, what? They want to not do according to God's will. They have no chance at all. But we must have this kind of faith. So quite often, we as human beings, we have so much love for other people, right? Oh, they want them to be saved, want to be saved. But meanwhile, if we love them so much, why be sitting down, doing nothing, instead of going out and preach the gospel? Thus far, right? I asked the question yesterday, how many of us have brought a friend or anyone to church and get baptized and still in church? None of us. Right? I don't see any hands. So this means, if we really want to prove how much we love our friends, our family, anyone out there, we must go out and preach the gospel. Don't just think. Right? We love them so much, we want them to be saved by saying that, oh, if you're a good person, if you don't know God, you can be saved. No, it's not like that at all. So we must have this kind of concept. And let me ask you a question. So what about for example, if a woman is conceived and she's pregnant, right? And during a pregnancy, a baby died. Would the baby go to hell or go to heaven? What's that? Yeah, still in the womb. Still in the womb. Yes. So in other words, actually, we do not know where we're going to go. Right? Why? We know for sure it's not going to go to hell. Why? Because when Jesus said you must be born again, you must be born once first. Right? If you're never born in the first place, you cannot be born again. Right? So this means we have no opportunity, right? That's different. But of course, abortion is completely different. Right? Abortion means a baby's going to be alive, but you kill it. That's murder, right? That's different. It's not the same thing. But it's naturally a baby die in a mother's womb. You have no chance to be born again. So because of this, he's not going to go to hell. but we don't know where we're going to go, right? If not hell, heaven, or you just know nothing, right? We do not know, right? What about if a person have no feet? Right? You can do foot washing. Some people say wash your stump, right? What do you do when you have people with no feet? What should you do? Should you wash them something? What should we do? Huh? What's that? Yeah, we don't have to do foot washing, but we have to do something. Huh? No, baptize is already, you know, already, right? Actually, we don't have to wash their feet, but we must teach the foot washing. Because they have no feet to wash, what are you going to wash? And some people say, oh, wash their limbs here and there. But some people walk on their hands. What happened, right? Actually, we have a case, right? I think in Taiwan, they have no feet. So you don't need to wash their feet. You just teach the foot washing, right? Because God will know, right? And when this bride go to heaven, they say, and it's in the gate, right? Asking the question, hey, why do you have your feet washed? Is God going to say that? No, of course not, right? I have no feet, I'm sorry. I'm not going to wash, right? So things like this, right? Things like this. So everybody understand about those who do not know God? So don't open the gate so wide. Who are we to open the gate so wide when Jesus said the gate is narrow? Right? Actually, quite often the reason you want to open the gate so wide is because we are too lazy to go out and preach the gospel. Really, it's like this. Not because we have so much love. But if we have much love, we should follow exactly what Jesus tells us to do. Remember when Jesus ascended to heaven, right? And what was the disciple doing? When Jesus ascended to heaven, right? What was the disciple doing in the book of Acts? Anyone? Jack. What were they doing? When Jesus ascended to heaven, right? What the disciples, what were they doing? Watching, right? Actually, yeah, they were gazing into heaven, right? Jesus told them. Then the man in white appeared, came to them and asked them, hey, what are you guys doing, right? The same Jesus will come in the same manner. In other words, go out and preach the gospel. Jesus already told you, go out, right? To Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of earth to preach the gospel. But meanwhile, they're just standing there, gazing into heaven. Quite often we do exactly the same thing. We're just sitting here. Of course, it's nice, right? Brothers, you know, we have fellowship with one another. But that's not the commission that God has given to us. We must go and preach the gospel. Yes? Yes, I mean, that's very easy, right? Answer. Right? If God's such a good God, why He allow all these people to die? Why? Why? Huh? Why? What's that? Yes, He came to save, right? He came to save. But why, first of all, right? Why some people born with Down syndrome, right? And some with some kind of disability, right? And why some people born so ugly looking, right? Really, it's the reality. Why is this? Why? You think Adam and Eve, they were ugly looking? I don't think so. I don't think so. If Eve was ugly looking, I don't think Adam would say, oh, wow, bones of my bone and flesh of my flesh. No way, right? And he wouldn't say, oh, what is that? That's why she's ugly, right? So what does this mean? Actually, this means for us. The reason why we're born the way we were, why? What is the main reason? Huh? From the beginning. Why? Why so many people die, right? And we think, we blame God. And why God, you know, allow all these people to die? Why? Why? What's the answer? What's the answer, brother? You born in TJC? Yes, and all this time you do not know the answer, and you're always thinking all this time? Why? First, okay, think the reverse. First, all of us deserve hell because of sin, first of all, right? So this means every single one of us, we all supposed to go to Hades and suffer eternal condemnation. But then, those who God saved, this is grace. Don't look at it the other way around. Sometimes you think, oh, all people are so good, then they all die. Right? And God allowed them to die. No. You must look at it the other way. All of us born in sin, we deserve of eternal condemnation. But because of God's love, God chose us. God chose people. And even now, you know, when we go outside and we look at the sky, there's no way we can say there's no God. There's no way. That's why I love animals, right? I look at the little ant and like, how can this little ant have life inside of it? Right? And it has two stomachs too, right? And it's so working hard and it's so powerful, right? Little ant, right? It can carry I don't know how many times its own weight, something like that, right? Can any scientist, can any engineer build this kind of stuff? No, right? Actually, I'm talking about by nature, human beings to seek for God. But don't feel that God is not righteous. If you think like this, then you have no idea who the God of worship. Just have the faith that every decision that God has made is 100% correct. 100% correct. There's no going to the left, there's no going to the right. It's 100% correct. So actually for us, just like many of us, we see ants on the ground, we just stomp on them, right? We have no mercy. Right? But with God, look at us, we are nobody. We make up of dust. Meanwhile, we sin and sin and sin against God, right? Tell me even one righteous person that you know. Really, not even our church, outside the church. Tell me. No, I'm just saying, I'm asking you a question too. Right? So, what I'm saying, don't think, sometimes we think that we are somebody, that we should be saved, you understand? We should go to eternal life. No. We think the other way. We are all sinners, we deserve to go to hell. But God's love brings us back up. You understand? So don't think the other way about God. Actually, if you read the Bible, you know actually, when Jesus died for us on a cross, He died for all mankind. Right? And this is His will for all mankind to be saved, right? But mankind, they don't want to be saved. Really, they don't want to be saved. So I've been 12 years in Christ now, right? You know how many people came to our church and received the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, they shed tears, the next week they don't come back again. Why? Because our heart is so stubborn. Our heart is full of evil. And so many friends that I have, they came to church, and the minute the teaching said, you cannot have boyfriend and girlfriends, right? The minute I heard that, they say, I'm sorry, I'm going to choose my girlfriend and boyfriend over God. Even with the Holy Spirit inside. That's what I'm saying, that God would never force us to love Him. He never forced us to believe in Him. But He gives everyone the same opportunity to seek for Him. When you seek for Him, it's a promise, you will find. And it's true. But, and then how many people really seek for God? Really? Right? It's the book of Romans. Please, don't think that my God is a bad God. We as human beings, we are the ones so evil. Right? We are so evil. Chapter 3, verse 9. Start from verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11. There is none who understand. There's none who seek after God. And what the author of Romans written, this is completely 100% true. No one is righteous. And no one understands. No one seeks after God. Right? Verse 12. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There's none who does good. No, not one. really, when I read these verses, you can't help but say amen, right? Why? Because we as human beings, we are so wicked. Why the pornographic industry making billions of dollars every year? Why? Because people don't do anything? Why there's so many killings every year? Why so many abortion every year? Just the United States alone, right? How many abortion? Anybody know the stat? United States? I think it's like 1.2 million, right? Each year. Baby being aborted. And we say God is bad and allow other people to die. No, we are the evil one. When we are evil, and then Satan is our father, and we deserve to go to everlasting condemnation. But if God judged us according to our wickedness, all of us will be done away long time ago. But we are wicked. Why? Because quite often we want to do wicked things. Even now, for us, you and I, right? We know God. We know our God. And God's grace and God's mercy have been upon us so abundantly. But do we still commit sin against God? Yes. We still do. That is sad, right? But we still do. You know why I take so much time to answer this question? Because when I was a young boy, right, going through the communists, and during the time there were about 6 million Cambodian people, and probably half or more than half were executed, right? And since I was a young boy, I always thought this to myself. If God was such a good God, right, why did he allow all these things to happen? Right? And then if God is such a good God, even he allows this thing to happen, he should be able to see what the people are going through. As a young boy, I see, you know, 9, 10-year-old kid eating the flesh of my relative, right? Cooking their heart, cooking their liver, eating in front of me, right? That is so evil, right? Of course, the minute we see this, we think, oh, why God allowed? It's not God. These people are so evil. And because people are so evil, what? God gave them up, right? Go to Romans chapter 1, right? So you and I, the same thing. If you continue to watch pornographic, just like Pastor Wong and Shin, sooner or later you have no more feeling. Why? Because sooner or later, God will give us up. We know what's right to do or not to do, right? So quite often, for example, you create a sharp knife, right? And then brother took a sharp knife and killed someone, and they blame on you. Hey, why did you create a sharp knife for? Yes, sir. God created such beautiful human beings. Right? As human beings wicked, right? Fall into wickedness, then blame on the Creator who created them perfectly in his own image, his own likeness. You cannot feel like that. I mean, of course, United States, they probably sue you, right? If you want to make that knife, right? But is it right to sue you? You make this knife right to use for useful, right? To cut vegetables, to cut this, to cut that, or they used to kill someone. They cannot blame on you. Right? The same thing with our God. Right? He created everything, and everything was really good. And that is God's creation. But after that, because men listen to Satan and fall into temptation because of pride, because of this, then they become evil. They do things that is evil. You cannot blame on God. If you don't have that kind of heart to follow and do things evil, God will just let you go. Even now, for me, it's the same thing too, right? Don't think, oh, I'm a worker of God, so I decide, let me walk across the street so to test God, did God save me or not. I'm sorry, I've been dead already. That's the way it is. But you cannot blame on God. Why did God stop me? Why did God stop me? Why didn't God stop all those evil people who kill other people? Because he just wanted to show, hey, you guys, in your nature, that's what you do. You just kill one another, right? But of course, even though we try to use the Bible to answer most of the things, but a lot of things we do not understand. A lot of things we do not understand. So we must have faith to believe it. So for me, what is the answer when I thought since I was young? Human just pure evil. Why? Because human who live in the flesh, right? And controlled by their desire, then of course you're going to be evil. Just as simple as that. If God has His mercy on one of us, He should transform us to be a better person, praises thank God. But if He doesn't, it's fine.
It's not His duty, right? Because you want to choose and do evil things. So for me, the same thing, like that. But one thing for sure, right? Don't ever, right, think that our God is a God that is not righteous. Don't ever think that our God is a God that has no love. Because this kind of thinking is demonic. Why do we say this? Because that's what Satan tries to, you know, tell us to think about our God. If God, He is love, there's no evil in Him at all. If God is love. And that's what the Bible said, He is love. So because of this, everything about Him is all about love. I'm sorry we couldn't get to all the questions that we proposed. And I hopefully that you guys understand, right, when we talk about going to front line. I see the front line, you must know yourself. Then you must know your enemy. Then you must know the God you worship. Then you must know what kind of weapon to defend yourself and to destroy your enemy. And most of all, we must have faith to believe what we've been taught since we are young. And don't think too much. Sometimes when we think too much, really we analyze this, we analyze that, and then we came to the conclusion that there's something wrong with God. No, it's something wrong with us. So I really encourage all of you to continue to read the Bible. And what do you not understand? Just let it be. But always remember, God is perfect in every aspect. Let's bow and pray, silence. Or let's kneel down and pray together and conclude.